Good morning. It's Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. Well, in part two, we're going to continue in the book of Proverbs, where wisdom is personified as a virtuous woman. And personification is a literary device where it gives human characteristics to abstract concepts in order to personalize them for our comprehension. Proverbs presents truth in concentrated forms. Often we read about the word for Proverbs that it means pithy sayings. And knowing the definition of pith really helped me to understand the pithy sayings part. Pith, P-I-T-H, it is a continuous central strand of spongy tissue in the stems of most plants. And it facilitates storage and distribution. And as such, it is the essential part of that plant. It's the core of how that plant is nourished and kept alive and flourishing. And that's exactly what Proverbs are. They provide the essential part. They're concise, yet they're full of vigor and substance. And they're guides to direct us in our interactions throughout life. They are the core or the fundamental guiding light in self-governing our lives. However, even though they are concise gems of truth, they do not direct every detail of any matter. And the reason is because every situation is different in so many ways. A lot of times we think, oh boy, here we go again. But you know, every situation is different in some way. Situations may seem the same, but there are no two that are identical. And that's where the wisdom of God comes to the rescue. The pithy sayings give us the core. They give us the direction. But it's the wisdom of God that helps us to finesse the truth. Wisdom is the principal thing. That's why Solomon asked for wisdom, so he could be a true king to all of God's people. He knew the word from a child. David and Bathsheba, they taught the word to him as a child. But he knew he needed the wisdom of God for his discernment. And starting in Proverbs 3:13, we'll begin this morning. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Silver and gold, they are two metals that will always have immense value. And supposing that wisdom were a commodity like silver and gold, its value, the value of wisdom, will always outvalue precious metals. No matter the market values, they will never rise above the value of wisdom. Because verse 15 tells us, she, speaking of wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. They're not to be compared. There is no comparison. Nothing compares to wisdom. And that's kind of saying that there's nothing that will counterbalance the preciousness of wisdom. You might want to picture a set of balance scales and visualize putting all the treasures of wisdom that are laid up in Christ onto one of the plates. Then on the other plate, imagine placing all the things, all the riches, all the things of value in this world that you could possibly desire. So now we kind of get the message. There's no equilibrium that will ever be achieved with these plates. The plates will never level off and be equal. All the silver and all the gold, all you could possibly desire, will never counterbalance the wisdom of God. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now, we've just read that wisdom has no counterbalance. So, you know, we don't want to minimize our understanding and the meaning of this as we read on. So we want to remain within the context of the value of wisdom and the greatness. So length of days and riches and honor, they can't be limited as looking at them 80 to 90 years upon this earth. You know, on earth, it refers to the quality of our days. Are they days worth living? Or are they days we wish we could just go to sleep and wake up the next day? You know, the length of days doesn't, and the riches and the honor, they don't exclude the temporal blessings in this world, but their greatness is in blessings that fill eternity. Length of days. Us, our progeny, on and on and on, and then our lives, all of our lives throughout eternity. You know, Jesus didn't have length of days on this earth, nor was he lavished in riches and honor. You know, how about born again ones in other country where the mention of God is a death sentence? Recall the short lives of the apostles and others that were martyred for their belief in Christ. And with riches and honor, what about believers in countries where there is only poverty and hunger among the common folk? Yet, their length of days and their riches and their honor will be conferred by God in eternity. Verse 17, we evidence the practicality of wisdom as we navigate this planet. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retains her. Well, Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Now, the word for forget it implies that we shouldn't ignore nourishing the wisdom in our lives, because wisdom can wither due to malnourishment. And then, don't decline from the words of thy mouth means we should not turn aside or pervert or allow ourselves to be carried aside through foolishness, through the wisdom of the world, through the deception. Verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now, forsake her not means don't abandon her. And love her is linked to desire. Literally, it means to breathe after anything, which signifies, it signifies the intensity of the longing. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, See, that's what describes the breathing after, the longing for, the loving her. So back in chapter 4, we'll read verse 6 again to look at two benefits that seem like the same thing, but they're not. And we'll show how that works. So, excuse me. So verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So I want to look at the word preserve, and I want to look at the word keep. This is in the King James Version. So it seems like preserving and keeping would be the same thing, but they are two different root words in the Hebrew. And the message in the verse is this: the wisdom that we keep keeps us. I mean, that's the message. And it for me, it was easier to see how it worked in Proverbs 13:3. And in that verse, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So he that keepeth his mouth. Now we know, according to James and many other places, really, the only way to tame the tongue is through the wisdom of God. And he who keeps or guards his own tongue, his own mouth, his own speech. So we see that's our responsibility. That's ours. That's our business to take care of. Then that wisdom that we have set there as the keeper of our speech is the same wisdom then that preserves, keeps our life. So it is as if we say, the wisdom we keep keeps us. In Proverbs 4:23, reminded again of this beautiful verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, how often we see greater depth to the admonition in Proverbs 4:23. And here's just another situation, another case that verifies the importance of guarding our heart. So in the second part of verse 3 emphasizes the reality by saying, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Because there's no wisdom. There's no godly direction. There's no core. There's no strand of truth that nourishes us. Obviously, if we're malnourished in the wisdom category, then in our lives, wisdom in motion has withered away. So how could she assist us? How could she keep us if we have not guarded her with fidelity? And wouldn't you know that the word for keep in Proverbs 4:23 is the same word as he that keepeth his mouth. And it is also the same word as forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee in verse 6. So we do our part, and wisdom does her part. But all in all, the wisdom that we guard, the wisdom that we keep, keeps us. Being born again means that we are wise unto salvation. We know if someone is born again, they are that wise. They have that wisdom. But there's a lot more to become wise about. To live at the level where the wisdom of God guards our comings and our goings in this life. We need all of the scripture, all of the scriptures, which God gave by inspiration, and we know according to Timothy that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He gave his word that men and women of God could be mature in the love of God, and that they could be completely resourced, completely financed, everything they need to do good works according to the will of God. because the Word of God is the wisdom of God. Back to verse 7, and we'll continue on here in chapter 4. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And that wisdom is the first fruits of our love and devotion for Jehovah. Counting our God faithful is paramount to our getting wisdom. You know, first things first. We will not approach His wisdom without our resolute submission to His plans and our absolute trust in His love for us. And the theme of how our seeking, and wisdom works on our behalf continues on in verse 8. It says, exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And exalt her means to mound it up like a freeway, or even more of a mental thing, like a highway. It's kind of above the little neighborhoods below. They're kind of off to the side and down the hill. You know, we raise wisdom up in our lives. And that wisdom that we raise up in our lives, she turns around and she promotes us. And she promotes us means that she lifts or holds us up to be set on high. And again, this meaning is consistent. The wisdom we lift up high, like it is our highway, is the same wisdom that lifts us up to travel upon that highway. They work so beautifully together. You know, think about this, didn't the wisdom of God set Christ at His own right hand in the heavenly places, which was far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come? You can read that in Ephesians 1:20-21. Think of our Lord and how He exalted the wisdom of God. Sometime reread Paul's teaching about the wisdom of God triumphing over all the wisdom of the world. God has made it clear that worldly wisdom is no rival. And in verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You know, wisdom is a gracious elegance. It's a spiritual grace. It is pleasant. It is peaceable. It is precious. And in verse 13, skipping to 13, the encouragement, the admonition, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And the word in this verse 13 for instruction, it has a vast array of nuances to it, but it can be summed up by the fact that it includes doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in righteousness. Every time we go to the Word of God, it's not just okay, but it is greatly beneficial that we allow ourselves to recognize the doctrine, the reproof, the correction, the instruction in righteousness, and allow the reproof and correction, the reproof, to prick our hearts. Doctrine, reproof, and correction are all parts of His love, and not only His love, but part of His provision for all of us who have responded to Him with unwavering reverence. Seal in our hearts, and guard it, that the God of love and light does not beat us across the backside. He doesn't send us to our room, so to speak. He does not punish us. No, that is not true. And in Psalm 107, starting in verse 19, This is what he has done. This is what he has made available. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He didn't send them to their room. He didn't curse them. He didn't beat them over the head, send strife into their life. No, he sent his word and healed them. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We should have no part in the deception that the fear of the Lord is us shaking in our boots. Certainly not. Our fear of the Lord is our heart's cry for his wisdom, knowing that he is the God of love and light. So enjoy a glorious week meditating upon the wisdom of God. Larry and I love you, and our prayers are with you every day. God bless you.